Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC or 877-973-7425. So Reason Magazine just put out this data to follow up a point I made right before we went to commercial break. 1 in 37,000. 1 in 37,000. That's how many vaccinated people are hospitalized with COVID. 1 in every 37,000 vaccinated people winds up being hospitalized. And yet they want school teachers and school kids to be vaccinated or to be masked at all times, kids inside and out, according to the CDC. None of that makes sense. The whole thing is just absurd. Parents have every right to be frustrated, particularly with the mixed messages. I mean, it was 2 weeks ago they were saying you don't need to worry about it with masks. And now suddenly all the teachers are going to have to wear masks. The teachers don't want to wear masks. I've got a friend whose daughter is deaf and has a cochlear implant and is able to hear, but supplements her hearing with reading lips. And she's not going to be able to read the lips of her teachers in school this year because the teachers are going to have to wear masks. That's ridiculous. Here is Director Walensky or Dr. Walensky of the CDC.
20-fold for hospitalizations and deaths. As CDC has recommended for months, unvaccinated individuals should get vaccinated and continue masking until they are fully vaccinated. In areas with substantial and high transmission, CDC recommends fully vaccinated people wear masks in public indoor settings to help prevent the spread of the Delta variant and protect others. This includes schools. CDC recommends that everyone in K-12 schools wear a mask indoors, including teachers, staff, students, and visitors, regardless of vaccination status. Children should return to full-time in-person learning in the fall with proper prevention strategies in place. Finally, CDC recommends community leaders encourage vaccination and universal masking to prevent further outbreaks in areas of substantial and high transmission. With the Delta variant, vaccinating more Americans now is more urgent than ever. The highest spread of cases and severe outcomes is happening in places with low vaccination rates and among unvaccinated people. This moment, and most importantly, the associated illness, suffering, and death could have been avoided with higher vaccination coverage in this country. COVID-19 continues to present many challenges and has exacted a tremendous toll on our nation. We continue to follow the science closely and update the guidance should the science shift again. We must take every step we can to stop the Delta variant and end this pandemic.
The whole should the science shift again, should the science shift again, the science isn't really shifting that much from 2 weeks ago when they said you don't need to wear a mask. And yet now they are. And we know the CDC has been under extraordinary pressure from teachers unions and the like. So I think there's got to be something more happening behind the scenes than just following the science. And frankly, the fact they can't be transparent about it is one of the reasons a lot of people are losing trust in these organizations. Another issue that causes people to lose trust in these organizations, and I need you to keep your perspective on this because this is just, this blows my mind. This is from CBS 11 in Dallas-Fort Worth. Here's the headline. South Texas Police Department issues public health announcement after COVID-stricken migrant seen coughing, sneezing at Whataburger. How dare you take your germs into Whataburger? The La Jolla Police Department issued a public health announcement after an officer approached an undocumented migrant, that would be an illegal alien, family at Whataburger and told him Border Patrol released them because they had COVID-19. On July 26th, the police department of the small town along the Rio Grande and Mexican border shared details of the incident. They said a concerned citizen at the restaurant waved down the officer. The citizen told him about the family coughing and sneezing without covering their mouths and not wearing face masks. Whataburger management also told the officer they wanted the group to leave as well due to their disregard for other people's health. In addition to telling the officer that Border Patrol had released them days prior due to their COVID status, the family said a charity group had paid for their room at a nearby Texas Inn hotel. The officer followed up on the information, finding out Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley had booked all the rooms in the hotel to house undocumented immigrants detained by Border Patrol. He saw a group of 20 to 30 people staying at the hotel who were out and about. Most of them weren't wearing masks. Police said they learned the Border Patrol was quarantining other undocumented individuals who were COVID positive or showed symptoms of illness, then handed them over to Catholic Charities, which put them in hotels in McAllen and La Jolla, Texas. And they're letting other illegal aliens get bus tickets and not tracking them, hoping that they will return to show up for court dates. This is where the Biden administration is on this. This is the Biden administration. You know, the COVID storyline would never go away for Donald Trump. We reached this point in the Trump administration where after every other day, the storyline was changing. We suddenly got to a point where we were stuck in the coronavirus narrative. Like with the Trump administration and the COVID storyline not going away, it's not really going away for Biden either, but neither is the illegal alien story. And the thing I think a lot of people are missing is we are in a situation at this moment where Democrats and progressive Democrats in particular do not trust American citizens to document their COVID status honestly. And the result is they're demanding government mask mandates. They want vaccine mandates and vaccine passports because they don't trust their fellow American, to be honest, but they're willing to put illegal aliens on buses and send them to God knows where in the United States and hope they will return for their court hearing on whether or not they're going to be deported or not. The Democrats and progressives in America trust the illegal aliens who cross over into this country illegally more than they trust their fellow citizens. And they are imposing burdens on their fellow citizens that they're not imposing on the illegal aliens. And the Biden administration, which wants you to mask up everywhere, is allowing illegal aliens to roam free in South Texas. Do you think that they would do so if Texas had gone Democrat? Or do they just not care because Texas didn't go for Joe Biden? I mean, it's a valid question at this point. Joe Biden had a series of meetings with governors out west about the drought and the fires, and he didn't invite the Republican governors to it, just the Democratic governors. I mean, do they care about this sort of stuff? It's really striking how much the left in this country, and you know, let's be fair, a lot of people on the right don't trust people on the left these days. You got both sides yelling that the other side is authoritarian and tyrannical and totalitarian. But ultimately, here we are with the Biden administration and Democrats saying that you can't be trusted to be honest with whether or not you've had the vaccine or not. We need a vaccine passport. But somehow an illegal alien can be trusted to be given a bus ticket and told come back to your court date to find out whether or not you're going to be deported. That's a pretty terrible indictment against progressive politicians right now and their worldviews and their priorities. Of course, their priorities and their worldview puts them at odds with a great many of Americans these days over a great many things. For example, look at the polling. We talked about this yesterday, the transgender issue in the Olympics, how Americans, independents, Republicans, a good portion of Democrats are fairly opposed to transgender female athletes competing against female athletes. The Democrats and the media overwhelmingly promote the narrative. This isn't this isn't a good situation for the Democrats. They continue to be out to lunch. And again, like I said last hour, if the Democrats really believe that when people go to the polls in November of next year, that they're really going to think, well, Donald Trump's not on the ballot, but I'm going to vote against those Republicans over January 6th, despite inflation, crime, funding the wokes, Boko Haram, and the like. I don't see that that's going to happen. I just don't think that people are going to go do that. And this is something I think the Democrats fundamentally have to understand. Americans are willing to vote against their economic interests if they think their way of life is under attack, or what Democrats perceive as their economic interests. And the Democratic perception of an economic interest is, we're going to give you some freebies, therefore you should vote for it. We're going to pay for other people's student loans. We're going to give you a more child tax credit and free lunches and more national debt to burden your children and grandchildren. But hey, you're not going to have to deal with the consequences. Vote for us. And meanwhile, they're thinking, yeah, but I'm going to get mugged if I step outside my house. Or my kid's going to go get indoctrinated. That, you know, speaking of that, one of the things that I encounter all the time now, regular basis, my kids aren't old enough for me to have to really fret about this right now, but I encounter people, listeners of this program, on a regular basis who are concerned about their kids going to college and what are the colleges going to do to their kids' minds? What are the colleges going to do? Because increasingly there does seem to be a strain of Congress that there is a strain of Congress, a strain of scholar in colleges that aggressively wants to indoctrinate your kid, that really thinks that they've got only 4 years to reshape your kid's mind after 18 years of programming by those nefarious Neanderthal parents. That's a problem. And people are starting to fret about it. And you know what? The college academics are now trying to move into your high school and elementary school. And parents are up, Democratic parents are up in arms. Did I mention this? I think I mentioned this to you yesterday. This is so funny. So there's a Dallas Justice Group. Dallas, let me Google, because I lost my note on this. Dallas Justice. Oh, wait, nope. I texted my buddy Kevin. So let me pull up my buddy Kevin and I can get the link. Yes, this is so funny. So Highland Park, Texas. Let me set the stage for you here. Highland Park, Texas is one of the majorly affluent areas of the country. George W. Bush lives there. One of the most expensive properties in Texas is there. It is a very, very well-to-do neighborhood. One of the richest parts of Texas. And it is highly progressive these days. The wealthier they are, the more progressive they get. Well, a group affiliated with Black Lives Matter is called Dallas Justice Now has sent a pledge around to the Democrats in Highland Park. Let me read you what they said. This is just delightful. Dear Ms. Colgan, we are writing to you because we understand you are white and live within the Highland Park Independent School District and thus benefit from enormous privileges taken at the expense of communities of color. You live in the whitest and wealthiest neighborhood in Dallas. Whether you know it or not, you earned or inherited your money through oppressing people of color. However, it is also our understanding that you are a Democrat and supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement, which makes you one of our white allies and puts you in a petition position to help correct these cruel injustices. We need you to step up and back up your words with action and truly sacrifice to make our segregated city more just. We are asking you to pledge that your children will not apply or attend any Ivy League school or U.S. News and World Report top 50 school. If you do not have children under 18, then we ask you to pledge to hold your white privileged friends, family, and neighbors with children to this standard. These schools have afforded white families privilege for generations. Having your children attend these schools takes away spaces from students of color who really need the job opportunities, education, and influence these schools provide. We know this sounds like a tough commitment, but it is truly disheartening to see wealthy white folks sending charitable donations, posting Black Lives Matter hashtag on social media, or putting up yard signs as if to say that minimal effort is all they're prepared to do in the fight for racial justice. The quest for justice requires commitment from our white allies, and we thank you in advance for your anticipated cooperation in making such a commitment. Sincerely, Dallas Justice Now. By the way, this is a real thing. It's now been reported by multiple outlets in Texas. It is a real thing. Oh, and guess what? They are going to post a website with the names of all of the people who take the pledge and the names of all the people who refuse to take the pledge. They're going to seek compliance. Yes. Yes. Hey, it's what progressives say they want. Now they get what they ask for. You can call in. You can. I am tomorrow not going to be here. I will be back on Friday. Tomorrow, Alan Sanders is going to fill in for me. Tomorrow on my flagship station, WSB in Atlanta, they every year do a carathon for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. Now, don't roll your eyes at this, please. Pay attention here. We've got affiliates outside of Georgia now for this show. And in every single corner of the country, and in particular the Southeast, where all of you are listening live on the radio, this Children's Healthcare of Atlanta helps kids. They fight childhood cancer. And a lot of what they do can only be done with the help of generous people like yourselves. So the government gives some money to research hospitals and the like, but most of the stuff that comes into CHOA, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, comes in through donations, and a lot of it comes in through the annual carathon on WSB in Atlanta. And so I'm going to be helping them for the 3 hours tomorrow. I want to spend some time with you on Friday talking about it. I want to give you some opportunities to hang out with me. Come share my I do an annual event called Bourbon and Butts, where I let people drink from my bourbon collection, which is a wonderful collection, and also eat barbecue with me. And we do several other things throughout the year to help incentivize you. So here's the thing. As I mentioned to you yesterday, you're going to go buy a cup of coffee or fast food or something today and ask yourself, can I save the money and donate it to fight childhood cancer tomorrow or Thursday with this carathon? And it would be deeply meaningful for the hospital and for the kids if you would. I've got an interview of family this afternoon for the show who lost their child last year. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm not, if that makes sense. They want to talk about the story, and I want to bring that story to you guys on Friday, and I will. But we got a lot of other stuff we need to talk about, a little more on the Olympics, really. But we also need to pivot. I've got some election news out there, including President Trump taking a loss last night. That's interesting. All righty. We need to move on. And I got to say, you know, I mentioned flying private the other day and getting yelled at the airport, and the fine folks over at Priority Jets reached out to me and they said, hey, why don't you really take us seriously and look, and who knows, maybe we'll get a new advertiser out of it and I can fly on a private plane without getting yelled at in the airport. It happened again, y'all, at the grocery store last night. Well, I didn't get yelled at, but I was in the middle of shopping. I even had my earbuds in so people would leave me alone. And boy, somebody had a bone to pick with me over the vaccine stuff. And I actually agreed with them, and they needed a vent. And I guess I'm everybody's therapist these days. We'll be back. Hi there. It's Eric Erickson here. The phone number is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. This story, it's bizarre. I was going to save it for a short segment, but the more I thought about it, I want to spend a little bit of time on this. This is from Barry Weiss, and she's been exposing the wokes in higher learning and the like, and this is so bizarre. It is another story that Katie Herzog is actually writing about it, what's going on within medical schools these days. And I gotta read you this. This is just bizarre. This genuinely is bizarre stuff, and this is happening in a medical school. not just any medical school. This is the University of California's medical school system, one of the top med school systems in the nation. During a recent endocrinology course at a top medical school in the University of California system, a professor stopped mid-lecture to apologize for something he'd said at the beginning of the class. I don't want you to think that I am in any way trying to imply anything. And if you can summon some generosity to forgive me, I would really appreciate it, the physician says in a recording provided by a student in the class, who I'll call Lauren. Again, I'm very sorry for that. It was certainly not my intention to offend anyone. The worst thing that I can do as a human being is be offensive. His offense in an endocrinology class was to use the term pregnant woman. I said, when a woman is pregnant, which implies that only women can get pregnant, and I most sincerely apologize to all of you. It wasn't the first time Lauren had heard the instructor apologize for using language that to most Americans would seem utterly inoffensive, words like male and female. Why would medical school professors apologize for referring to a patient's biological sex? Because, Lauren explains, in the context of her medical school, acknowledging biological sex can be considered transphobic. When sex is acknowledged by her instructors, it's sometimes portrayed as a social construct, not a biological reality, she says. In a lecture on transgender health, an instructor declared, "Biological sex, sexual orientation, and gender are all constructs. These are all constructs that we have created." In other words, some of the country's top medical students are being taught that humans are not, like other mammals, a species comprising two sexes. The notion of sex, they are learning, is just a man-made creation. The idea that sex is a social construct may be interesting debate fodder in an anthropology class, but in medicine, the material reality of sex really matters, in part because the refusal to acknowledge sex can have devastating effects on patient outcomes. In 2019, the New England Journal of Medicine reported the case of a 32-year-old transgender man who was in an ER complaining of abdominal pain. While the patient disclosed he was transgender, his medical records did not. He was simply a man. The triage nurse determined that the patient, who was obese, was in pain because he stopped taking a medicine meant to relieve hypertension. This was no emergency, she decided. She was wrong. The patient was, in fact, pregnant and in labor. By the time hospital staff realized that, it was too late. The baby was dead, and the patient, despite his own shock at being pregnant, was shattered. To Dana Bayer, a trans activist in Maryland who is also a retired surgeon, such stories illustrate how vital it is that sex, not just gender identity, have someone perceives their gender, is taken into consideration in medicine. The practice of medicine is based in scientific reality, which includes sex, but not gender. The more honest a patient is with their physician, the better the odds for a positive outcome. Denial of sex doesn't help anyone, perhaps least of all transgender patients who require special treatment. But, Lauren says, instructors who discuss biological sex risk complaints from their students, which is why she thinks many don't. I think there's a small percentage of instructors who are true believers, but most of them are probably just too scared of their students. Now, I'll stop here. I don't want to just read this thing. You can go find it. But this is a cultural revolution in the United States of America, and we probably need to be mindful of that. What's happening in the country is a dangerous revisionism. Now, the Cultural Revolution was a purge in China. It began in the mid-1960s. Mao Zedong, the communist leader of China, launched it. And essentially, he encouraged people to hold what were called struggle sessions and grab power from local governments and then have large struggles. And essentially what would happen is people who are considered capitalists or more educated than they should be or know-it-alls would be invited into a room where the people would surround them and berate them for all they had done wrong and get them scared to death of daring to say anything about anything they disputed. In fact, science became one of the things they were scared to talk about. And the result was mass starvation and cannibalism in China in the 1960s. Mass starvation. Because the scientists were considered know-it-alls, and know-it-alls were unacceptable. The know-it-alls had to be punished and silenced. And so they were. By the students. It was the students. Mao used the students to do it. And we seem to be in a cultural revolution in the United States, particularly on college campuses. We find more and more there was, where was it the other day? Some city, I want to say maybe it was New York. It was a vacant building that a bunch of college kids who are Marxists, Antifa members, Black Lives Matter members, although white, inhabited the building. The police pushed them out. And they showed up, the white kids showed back up the next day and were menacing to the police, standing around harassing the police, chanting to the police, suck our, let you guess. And we're letting them get away with it. In fact, the Democrats are trying to use that power to keep power in 2022. It is a direct relation to how often they refer to the Republican Party as now an authoritarian party. There's a lot of emphasis in the Democratic Party and in the press these days on how Republicans have become very authoritarian. And, you know, there are some Republicans who have. There are some Republicans who now flirt regularly with getting power and keeping power. But we should not distract from the fact that the Democrats are doing the same thing. There are a lot of Democrats who believe the same thing. And if you will note in the Democratic mythologies of the day, that the only legitimate elections in this country are elections Democrats win. Margaret Sullivan is an opinion writer at the Washington Post. She used to be the ombudsman for the New York Times. Margaret Sullivan has a piece today saying the media needs to stop both sidesism, where, well, Democrats do it and Republicans do it too, and they need to focus on who has democracy's back. Who's defending democracy? I would note, for the record, the very same reporters in blue check marks on social media who are circulating affirmingly Margaret Sullivan's piece today are the same people who spent 4 years denying the Electoral College win of Donald Trump, claiming it was illegitimate and the Russians stole it. And now suddenly they want the rest of us to bend over and bow down? Look, I don't think the 2020 election was stolen. I think we should honor the results. I think they were legit. But I think 2016's were as well. And I understand we're in a tit-for-tat postmodern world where if one side does X, the other side's going to do negative X. Not Y. No, they're going to do exactly the opposite of what the other side's doing. People are so predictable these days. You knew that certain people on the right were going to say outlandish things about Simone Biles dropping out of the Olympics with no regard to what the data actually showed. You knew it. You absolutely knew it. And you knew that people on the left were going to raise her up hagiographically as if she was some patron saint of mental health for doing it and lionize her, make her a hero. You knew it was going to happen. The parties behave exactly opposite each other these days. It's not one does X and the other does Y. It's one does X, the other does negative X. But on college campuses, in academia, in the media, there's a cultural revolution of progressives going on who scream that Republicans are authoritarian while hounding people out of jobs for disagreeing with them. You've got a professor who happens to be a medical doctor teaching endocrinology in the University of California Medical School System who has to apologize to his students and beg their forgiveness for saying pregnant woman. Men cannot get pregnant. It is a biological fact. And if you disagree with me, you are disagreeing with the science you claim nearly to worship. Men cannot get pregnant. And, you know, there's a level of arrogance there as well, is there not? That we are just another animal. We're just an animal. We're just as much an animal as some of the other animals. And, you know, some of the other animals are just more wonderful than us. I mean, you've got entire groups of progressive environmentalists who want us all to hold our breaths until we die to save the rest of the animals from us. And yet somehow or another, they have concluded that though we are just like all the other animals, we are still more equal than the other animals because we get to pick our sex. And, you know, it used to be your sex was biological, your sex is how you were born, and your gender is what you choose. And now, of course, they've gone even further that even your sex is a social construct. No, it is not. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he made us male and female. We don't get to pick and choose. But they now think you can. And it's leading to disastrous results in medicine. It's people are getting hurt. People are dying because they really do think that sex is just a social construct now as opposed to a biological scientific reality. And when you have the medical community training kids to become doctors, denying basic biological science because they're scared of the kids, something is deeply, deeply, deeply wrong with our society. And I realize this is it's some sort of social contagion that is burning through society. It will eventually burn itself out. But what will the body count be? What will the destruction to society be before it's completely burned out? That I don't know, but it's going on. In China, it led to economic collapse, starvation, and cannibalism. I suspect it's going to lead to many bad things here with a lot of people losing their jobs for daring not to be a part of Boko Haram. Now, you want to be part of something. Everybody wants to be a part of something. You should be a part of something great. Be a part of a good company. Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is the only Christian conservative wireless carrier in America. Now, let me, I know y'all got questions. I've got answers. You've got questions. You've sent me emails. Patriot Mobile is a cell phone carrier. They do not have their own towers. There is a great law that allows them to take advantage of the towers of others for fee. And you don't have to pay the major cell phone carriers. You pay a company like Patriot Mobile that is not woke, that shares your values, that loves this country, that sends a portion of its profits to pro-life, Second Amendment, and veterans and first responder causes. They're not woke. They share your values. So you should share yourself with them and become a customer. You can transfer your number. It's very easy to port a cell phone number. You're allowed to. You've got a cell phone number you've had for a while. You can port it over to Patriot Mobile. They'll help you. You want a new number? They can help you. You need a discount? Your first responder, they got one. You got a large family? You're looking to save money? Patriot Mobile can help you. Patriot Mobile can help you. Patriot Mobile wants to be your cell phone carrier. They want to be a company you can be proud of. They're not just in this to make a profit. They're actually in this to reflect their values. Your values happen to be their values, so it's a perfect fit. You guys are always asking me, who should I go to? Who should I shop with? Patriot Mobile, they're one, and I'm delighted to have them now as an advertiser. You get free premier activation at Patriot Mobile. What you do is you go to patriotmobile.com/Eric, E-R-I-C-K. patriotmobile.com/Eric. You can call them at 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. But really, go to patriotmobile.com/Eric. Check them out. Check out their coverage. They've got nationwide coverage. They've got great coverage, as a matter of fact. If you got an unlocked phone, you can use it on their network. They've got phones themselves. You can check them out at patriotmobile.com/Eric. Make them your cell phone provider. You don't need to just boycott companies you don't like. Support the companies you do like. And through your compounded dollar investment as a customer, you get more companies like them who reflect, hey, there's a market for conservatives here. We should actually cater to conservatives instead of like sticking our thumb in our nose and telling them to go elsewhere. Patriot Mobile is a company. They want to be your cell phone carrier. They want a relationship with you for the long haul. They share your values. They give part of their profits to pro-life causes. You can be proud to be someone who uses Patriot Mobile. Go to patriotmobile.com/Eric today. Hello there. It is Eric Harris. Somebody just sent me this. Holy Trinity Roman Catholic Church, somewhere down in Florida, the church sign. Too hot to keep changing sign. Sin bad, Jesus good, details inside. It is going to be hot in the southeast. We had a relatively mild summer around here. We've had some humid days, but it's going to get into the triple digits by the end of this week. And it's just, I don't like it. I really don't like it. I got asked to replay the Fauci audio that I played at the first hour. And now is probably not a good time to replay it because it's about 2 minutes long and we don't have a lot of time. But I will replay it when we come back. If you haven't heard it, you need to put all this in proper context. The phone number, if you want to call in, is 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. Yesterday, I had to go shopping. I mentioned going to Belk and seeing the five people, the parents and the three kids wearing their masks. The mom had hers down below her chin. The dad and two kids had theirs below their nose. And the third kid had the bottom strap of a two-strap mask on, so the mask was flopping around. I'm encountering this, and I've gotten a bunch of emails from people saying that they see it everywhere. How are we supposed to get our masks to work if the people who are supposed to wear the masks, which is all of us, don't know how to wear the masks or can't wear the masks? Unless you're on an airplane. I'm hoping this priority jet thing works for me because you don't have to wear a mask on a private plane. And I just think it is way past time for us. We shouldn't have to be wearing masks, even on planes. The data is not there on the Delta variant. It's just not there to make the case. They're talking about a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Well, it's their choice, their risk. They didn't want to take the vaccine. Let them take the risk. Don't impose on the rest of us. And that's just, it's infuriating to me that this is where, I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep harping on that issue, but it really is aggravating to me. You know what's not aggravating to me? The summer grill pack at Omaha Steaks. It is not aggravating. It is a absolute pleasure to eat through the summer grill pack from Omaha Steaks. You get four bacon-wrapped filet mignons. Now, let me tell you what I tried with these the other day, because I was listening to a podcast on cooking steak, on grilling steak, and I heard this. So I lit the grill for about 20 minutes and then turned off one side of it, and I set these bacon-wrapped filets from Omaha Steaks on the one side until the bacon got crisped up. And then I threw it over onto the high heat on the other side and seared it. They actually turned out incredible. You just leave them. You know, you don't have to leave your whole grill on high. Anyway, you can get these bacon-wrapped fillets from Omaha Steaks with their summer grill pack, along with chicken breasts, pork chops, gourmet jumbo franks, my wife's personal favorite, the caramel apple tartlets, signature seasoning, and free 8 filet mignon burgers at Omaha Steaks by going to omahasteaks.com. You put Eric in the search bar, E-R-I-C-K, and you will see the summer grill pack. Get this today and get the free 8 filet mignon burgers. That's right, burgers made from filet mignons at omahasteaks.com.